In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Lord, there are certain times of the year when we are reminded of love, your love for us. And we begin with your death on the cross, where no greater love does a man have than that he lay down his life for his friends. And St. John prefaces his account of the Passion, beginning in the Last Supper, by saying, "Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." Lord, how much you love us. And why should you love us? You are God Almighty, and you love us so much that you become man. And then you live amongst us and suffer at our hands. And finally you die for us to redeem us. We are just poor creatures, poor sinners. But you love us to that extent. And help us to fall more in love with you so that we can live out that other commandment to love our neighbor as ourself. And then following that great season of Eastertide, we come to the Feast of Pentecost, the outpouring of love on the apostles. The Holy Spirit, who is the love between the Father and the Son, is poured out upon the apostles in those tongues of fire. And he inspires love in them, love for God, love for souls, that leads them to go out and spread the gospel all over the world. And we too are called to that. And the Holy Spirit has been given to us too, in baptism, strengthened in confirmation. And St. Paul writes, "The love of God has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who has been given us." Lord, you have given us your love. Help us to respond to it, to love you, to love all souls. And then in the month of June, the Feast of the Sacred Heart. That heart of yours that loved to the end and was pierced with a lance and outflowed the blood and water, in which the Church has seen the sacraments of the Eucharist in the blood and baptism in the water, and also the Church flowing from your open side. And after that, the Feast of the Immaculate Heart of Mary the following day. Her heart and yours were one. Whatever was in your heart was in hers, and vice versa. And she loved us too. And we ask Mary, help me to love as Jesus did to the end. And in the month of June, we have the Feast of Saint José María Escrivá, a man who he said of himself who knew how to love. And he said in his early 70s, "Look for a man of my age who speaks about his love the way I do. Perhaps you won't find many." How few we would find. A man in his 70s who speaks about the love of his wife or his love for God. And St. José María was madly in love. I saw that in my 2 years in Rome and afterwards on many occasions when I was in Spain studying canon law, and he came to that country. He was so full of affection. He exuded affection, kindness, good humor. He loved everyone. He was like a spiritual volcano pouring out love. The molten lava of the love of God filled him, and it poured out in everyone, in his sons and daughters, and he made everyone feel special. I too received abundant manifestations of that love, of that affection. He loved people who weren't in Opus Dei. He loved people who weren't Catholics. He respected their conscience while he reminded them that he had the fullness of truth, and he prayed for them that they too might one day have it. But meanwhile, he respected their conscience. And then he loved wealthy people, and many came to see him, and he loved the desperately poor too. He loved all, Lord, as you did. And when we look at the lives of the saints, like Saint Jose Maria, like Mother Teresa of Calcutta, like the Curie of Ars, like Saint John Paul II, like all the saints, they loved. They loved their fellow man. And we might ask, where did they get that love for their fellow man that overwhelmed them? And the answer always is in their love for you. And the two things that most impressed me about Saint Jose Maria in my years in Rome and afterwards were his great love for God, and together with that, and as the fruit of it, his great love for his fellow man, and that was so obvious. I remember leaving those hundreds of get-togethers that we had with him in Rome in the early 1960s, thinking often, I have to love God more. He simply exuded love for God. He may not have been talking about love for God expressly, but one could see it in the way he lived, the way he spoke, the way he preached, the way he said Mass. And Lord, we all ask you, help me to love you with my whole heart and mind and soul and strength, so that I can love my fellow man too. And how do we grow in love for you? The ordinary ways. Prayer. How much time do I spend each day in prayer when I get out of bed in the morning offering? Perhaps mental prayer, meditation, talking with you as we are doing now in our own words, and above all, listening to you. The rosary. The Mass, where we not only worship you, but we hear your word in the readings. We receive you in Holy Communion. You live in us, we live in you. How can we love you more than in Holy Communion when we are one with you? And then remembering that you dwell in our soul. The Blessed Trinity dwells in the soul of the baptized when they are in the state of grace. We have that love within us. Help us to remember it. And with your presence in our soul, we have what we can call ontological sanctity. Sanctity in our very being, because God himself dwells within us. Love dwells within us. But then we make that effort to correspond to that ontological sanctity, that holiness that we have by your presence in us, with our own struggle for ethical holiness. The effort to correspond to your presence, to live as a son or daughter of God, to show others your love as the saints showed us their love, which came from you. And then the sacraments, that we receive Holy Communion often, that we go to confession often, so that we can tell you our sins and be forgiven and have that torrent of grace flood into our soul. It makes us holy. Sanctifying grace sanctifies us. It makes us holy heirs of heaven, children of God. We will live better if we have more time in your presence in prayer, and if we receive the sacraments more often. And let us consider in our meditation today a few aspects of love for our neighbor that, Lord, you always give us the example of, and the saints do too. Spirit of service. And we see you in the Last Supper washing the feet of your apostles, the apostles that were going to run away a few hours later. Judas would betray you for 30 pieces of silver. Peter would deny that he even knew you, and yet you were washing their feet. And when you finished, you said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you. And Lord, let us remember that you are God, washing the feet of your creatures, sinful creatures at that. If we serve our fellow man, we are serving those who are like us. They share our human nature. And we can ask ourselves, to what extent do I have that spirit of service, especially at home? If we are married, serving our spouse, being there for that spouse, spending time listening, showing that we care what has happened in their day, going out together on a date. We should do that often. Showing them truly that we are there for them, helping them in their chores in the house, and not having to be asked. Offering to do it, of course, because we love our spouse. Serving our children, if God has blessed us with children. Serving them, what does that mean? Being there for them, listening to them, playing with them, reading them bedtime stories when they are young, praying with them before they go to bed, saying family prayers with them, the rosary, grace before meals, perhaps the morning offering, the prayer to the guardian angel, serving them, being there for them, and showing them that we really love each one so that they can say that their mother or their father is their best friend. Lord, help us to do this, to have that spirit of service that you taught us by your example and by your word. And after washing the feet of the apostles, you give them and us, the world, the new commandment. You said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Love one another. Yes, those whom we like, those whom we find difficult, those who share our values, our ideals, our character, perhaps our personality, and those who are vastly different from a different religion, from a different national background, from a different age or outlook on life. All are your children. All are our brothers and sisters. Help us to love them. And you give us the measure of that love, which is, as I have loved you, so you also ought to love one another. And Lord, you loved us to the end, and you loved everyone, and you served them. Help us to love others as you have loved us. And then the consequence of that, as you go on to say, by this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Others will see in us something special. We care. We are kind. We go out of our way for them, no matter who they are or how different we are. And they will recognize you, Lord, in us. And they will say to us what people say often to good Christians, I want what you have. Tertullian, at the end of the second century, commented that the pagans said of Christians, see how they love one another. Lord, can anyone say that about me? See how he or she loves. Help us to be that person, to be more like you, to pour out the love of God that has been given to us by the Holy Spirit. And we can ask the Holy Spirit to enkindle in me the fire of thy love. Enkindle in me fire, that we can be a spiritual volcano too. Fire of love for God, and then love for our fellow man. Another aspect of charity patience. And Lord, how patient you were with the apostles. They were so slow to learn. And you said to Philip, Philip, all this time you have been with me, and you still do not know me? And when you had given them the various parables, which are self-explanatory in the main, they would say, Lord, explain the parable to us. They were slow learners. Well, of course, they weren't highly educated. They were fishermen and a tax collector, and you were infinitely patient with them. How patient am I with those around me? Here we all fall down, perhaps often. We can be impatient with our spouse, that spouse that doesn't do always immediately what we ask. But patience with them. They love us. They are patient with us. They put up with us, with our defects. We can put up with them. We can be patient with them. And then it might be one of our children or all of our children. And children, try the patience of their parents. This is what children do. But Lord, how patient am I with them? Do I fly off the handle sometimes? Do I lose my temper? Grant me patience. Saint Jose Maria gives us two ways of being more patient. The first one, consider how patient God is with you. If we find it difficult to be patient with someone, consider how patient God is with us. And again, that reality that the Almighty God, the infinite good, is patient with his creature, this sinful creature that I am. If I am patient with someone else, I am being patient with a fellow human being. And that is a lot easier. And so, Lord, help us to have that thought. If I find it difficult to be patient with someone, to think how patient you are with me. And we can be impatient with other drivers on the road. Yes, they will do foolish things. Sometimes they may do dangerous things. But we pray. We offer up that inconvenience. Pray for them. And that other way that Saint Jose Maria gives us to be patient with others, he says it in the way, don't say, that person gets on my nerves. Say, that person sanctifies me. And then that person that really annoyed us, that tried our patience, we see in a new light. You have given us that person, often as the fruit of marriage in one of our children, or as the fruit of our marriage in our very spouse. They might try our patience, but they sanctify us. They lead us to heaven. They are a little cross in our life, a cross that you have given us because you love us. And if we bear that cross well, it truly sanctifies us. If we complain, why do I have to bear all these inconveniences, all these annoyances from people around me? We lose the value. If we accept it, if we love that person, and we realize they're going to get us to heaven, then it sanctifies us. It stores up great treasure in heaven, more so than the person who is always kind, always very nice to us. Lord, help us to be more patient with everyone around us. Another aspect of charity, forgiveness. And again, Lord, you teach us how to forgive. When they were putting you to death on the cross, and taunting you, if you are God, come down from the cross, and abusing you, your answer was, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. You knew how to forgive, and they didn't know who you were, those leaders of the Jews. They didn't know that you were the Son of God. They should have known. You did so many miracles. You claimed to be God. And that's why they put you to death, because you claim to be God. But they should have realized that you weren't boastful. You were telling the truth. You were God. And you forgave them. And you forgave us. How many times have you forgiven me in my life? Every time I say an act of contrition because I have offended you, you forgive me. Every time I go to confession, you forgive me. And I tell you, with the help of thy grace, I will not sin again. And then I go out and commit the same sin again, perhaps even in the same day. But you teach us that. When they asked you, how often must I forgive my brother? You said, not 7 times, but 77 times. In other words, an infinite number of times. And you have forgiven me so many, many times in my life. If you have forgiven me, why can I not forgive my fellow man? And we can ask ourselves, is there anyone I have not forgiven? Perhaps someone who offended me or some other member of my family many years ago. And every time I think of it, I get very angry and I cannot bring myself to forgive. Or perhaps it's someone who has offended me or others in more recent times, but in a very grave way. They have stolen money from us. Or we have lent them money and they haven't repaid it. And then they claim that wasn't a loan, it was a gift. And it wasn't a gift, it was just a loan. And now we are struggling to make ends meet and they don't give the money back that is owing to us. Or perhaps they have insulted us or hurt us in some other grave way. But Lord, we must forgive them, and you teach us that. You say it when you give us the Our Father, where you teach us to pray, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Forgive us, Lord, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And it would seem that forgiving our neighbor is a condition for you to forgive us. And indeed, it is, because you go on to say, immediately after concluding the Our Father, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father also will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And Lord, these are strong words. If we do not forgive others, neither will our Heavenly Father forgive us. And we desperately want to be forgiven. We cannot die not having forgiven someone, because then we might not be forgiven either. But let us understand what forgiveness is. Sometimes people think it means feeling kindly towards someone who has hurt us, and it doesn't mean that at all. That is just a feeling. We may not have it. We may feel angry every time we think of what they have done for us. Forgiveness, rather, is an act of the will, wishing them well, praying for them, telling our Lord, and perhaps them, that we forgive them, an act of the will. And instead of wishing them harm, which can be the tendency, I hope you rot in hell, I hope you break your leg, we can't do that. That is not brotherly love. That is not charity. That is not the way our Lord treats us. Rather, wishing them well, praying for them, that they will not offend others, perhaps, that they will live well and die well and go to heaven, and telling our Lord, I forgive them. And when we can finally come to say that, Lord, I forgive them, a weight is lifted. At the end of the film about San Jose Maria, There Be Dragons, the journalist who has been asked to write a story about San Jose Maria, remembering that his father was a good friend of Jose Maria, but he is estranged from his father, at the end of that film, says when he has been reconciled with his father, when you forgive, you free someone, yourself. And Lord, how true that is. When we finally come to forgive, that weight is lifted. We are freed of that burden. And then we know that God is going to forgive us too. Help us always to forgive the little offenses that people have done to us and the big ones. And not to forget either that we have offended others. Perhaps there are people out there that we have offended and we don't even realize it, and they are upset with us. Forgiving others helps us to be more sensitive to the hurts that we might cause others and lead them to have a difficulty in forgiving us. And St. Jose Maria tells us in the way, force yourself, if necessary, always to forgive those who offend you from the very first moment. For the greatest injury or offense that you can suffer from them is as nothing compared with what God has pardoned you. We considered that, Lord, when we offend you, it is the creature offending the Creator, the little one offending the Almighty. And you forgive us time and again. The offenses that others cause us is nothing compared with what you have forgiven us. And then another important manifestation of charity, which is affection, kindness, goodness, a smile, good humor. And this St. Jose Maria had. He exuded affection. He just loved with his heart. We can ask ourselves, Lord, am I an affectionate, kind person? Do others see me in that light? Or might they say, but no, he or she is always angry, never smiles, always looks down, cast, glum. Is there something wrong? Lord, how am I? The more I love you, the more I will be affectionate with others, because I will see you in them. I will remember what you said. Whatever you did to the least of your brethren here, you did to me. We can see you in everyone. Yes, those people that annoy us, those people that we don't particularly like, but each one is Christ passing by. Help us to be kind to them, to give of ourselves to them, to care about them and show them that we care, to be generous and to be cheerful, to radiate joy to them. Pope Francis, in his apostolic exhortation, the joy of the gospel, speaks about Christians who look like they've just come from a funeral, or Christians who look like Lent without Easter. Such graphic ways of describing us, and we should always be joyful. The joy of the gospel. If we love you, we are filled with you, we are filled with joy, and then we radiate joy, and that is attractive, and we will draw others to you. You will be the one that draws them, but through us. Whereas if we are always downcast, if we are glum, if we don't care about others, if we are not kind and affectionate, who is going to be drawn to us or to you? Lord, help us to be another Christ in the lives of those around us. Then others are attracted to you in some way through us and in spite of us. And we go to Our Lady, Mary, if there was anyone, any creature, who knew how to love, it was you. How much you loved Jesus and Joseph. And then you show that love when you go to visit your relative Elizabeth and spend 3 months helping her, when you are carrying a child in your womb too. You might have got someone to help you, but no, you are off to the hill country of Judea, making a 3 or 4 day hazardous journey, and you spend 3 months there, giving joy to Elizabeth and John the Baptist in her womb, and Zechariah, her husband. Mary, you knew how to love, and you were there when it cost you to at the foot of the cross. Help me to love God more. He loves me. His love has been poured into my heart by the Holy Spirit that has been given to me. Help me to love God with my whole heart so that I can love everyone around me as you did. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.